You are listening to the X Corp Break Room with the X Corp team. I'm Vanessa Thurlow, co-founder of Ready Made Utopia, sound designer on the Experience Corporation.
I'm Caleb. I write and do other stuff.
I'm Kate.
Hi, I'm Len.
Hi, I'm Sam. Vanessa, I'm sorry. I was going to match your energy, but then no one else did, and now it's too late. I'm so sorry. I liked it.
I'm glad. I was trying to bring it up.
Yeah, I appreciate it. If I would have gone next, I could have done it, but now I'm here.
This was my fault for pointing to Caleb to go next. I should have seen who liked the bit and who didn't like the bit.
You really should have seen Caleb's face during the bit. It was so good.
We're here, and we're here to talk about Arc 4.
Retreat.
And that's not a command, listener. You're fine to stay exactly where you are.
So that means episodes 7 and 8?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The math is always weird on how that breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I was talking to someone who was like, oh, I really like this episode, but I forgot like which number it was. And I was like, I never knew in the first place which number any of them were. And that made her feel better and me feel worse.
I hope the descriptions are funny, but also do help people remember.
Because
sometimes we'll be reading like the descriptions for like Rick and Morty, and it's all just like jokes and gibberish. And I'm like, there's 7 seasons of this. I need to actually remember what the hell happened in this.
I really like your descriptions for the listener at home, Caleb, mostly. I think you've written all of them, actually. Because they're very funny. And like when I read them, I'm like, what's this inane kind of pitter patter? And then it's like, no, that is an accurate description of the episode.
Yeah, what is the description?
Tell you even one word of it.
Let me see.
Is it like professional relationships are forged, cameo makes a friend?
All true. All completely accurate.
All's fair in love and cabinetry.
That's the name of the episode, right?
No, it's not. I don't know the name.
Yeah,
it is.
That the what?
Yes.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't read the episode names. I copy and pasted them while creating the files.
One of the few episode names that I think stayed from... Was that what it was in the script?
I'm sure.
And the second episode name in this arc was the one that like no one realized was a pun.
Oh, yeah. A retreat most foul.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when we had that long discussion in the Discord about what constitutes foul.
Foul?
And yeah. I think it was like, maybe.
I was livid.
It was one of the few times I've seen Caleb seem like genuinely mad. Like,
because I was like, y'all are always coming at me about not liking puns. And I served you a beautiful pun. A beautiful pun on a silver platter. And this, all I got was slack.
And I am the most, as Vanessa knows, I get so mad when a joke doesn't make logical sense. Like, I'm just like, that's not funny because it's not true. And I also hate puns. And I was the one person without a problem with that.
But
name.
Okay, to explain what the problem is, it's that a falcon is not technically a fowl.
If you shoot it, it is.
If you shoot it, kind of.
You've never had a roast falcon before.
And, like, I'm okay with it. I don't know why on this particular morning after I posted it, I was like, oh, wait, is this the wrong type of fowl? And then I was on some weird shit about it, if we're being honest. Like,
oh, I forget what it... I think I just, like, I said one thing, and then the next thing I posted was, like, the definition of fowl, which was just, like... certain birds
and we're obviously not changing it now, but I would genuinely be curious if like listeners were like, well, that's not what a fowl, like I
if
just
you were the
know.
Single person who is like, this isn't like, commented on the episode, go to Spotify,
yeah, seriously, that's
put your
fine.
Thoughts like, if you were like, this joke doesn't make sense,
we're actually we're know. Doing some very like experimental linguistics here, we're figuring out the definition together.
Like, I know it doesn't fit the definition.
But
just
it's
don't
like,
care.
It's a bird, because there's a big
no.
bird.
No, it's that. Technically, a fowl is a subset of types of birds, which a falcon is not.
Yeah.
It, to some.
I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it.
No, and I'm going to be, I was wrong. It works for the joke. It was early in the morning. Yeah.
I do have the episode descriptions.
Ooh,
which
yes,
Vanessa
please.
Was surprisingly close. A new friend is found. Delmont eats fudge. Cameo does not. A large bird hides in a bush.
That is really accurate.
That was almost like a haiku.
Season 2
Cameo
challenge
does
do
not.
Them always high this.
That would be I could do probably one episode at least as haikus.
45 minutes?
Like a whole episode?
A whole I meant like an episode description.
Oh.
No, a whole haiku episode would be
it'll be a pretty short episode.
That's just one of my classic zingers.
Max and I once got listeners, that's my partner. We once got into a fight about how many syllables were in a word. And we were just like yelling at each other and like clapping a different amount of times while saying the word slowly.
I have a question. Do you know what word it is?
I do not remember what the word
I
was.
Wish.
We need to know. Because sometimes, like, as someone who writes a lot of lyrics, sometimes a word is one, sometimes the same word is two. Like blong, belong.
Blong.
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 Yeah, some good old blong.
Yeah, but you couldn't like argue with me and tell me that belong is one syllable.
No, no. There's some that I think that you could. Please. I think you could argue as either.
Please.
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 This was very much what
I agree.
the
yeah,
fight was about, words yeah. like this.
I think police is even more.
Police is definitely
police.
Two.
Police. Police. Yeah, no, you're right.
Police.
Police.
Please, I would say, is definitely one, but
I
don't know.
It's just a consonant cluster.
How many syllables does cabinet have?
Three.
I would say two.
Yeah, three.
Cabinet.
See,
but it has
this
three.
Is
like you
cabinet.
Say two, but it has
oh,
so it has
a,
the
amount. It, so you'd say it has the amount that it technically has, even if no one says the third.
Yeah.
No.
Cabinet.
Cabinet.
Yeah.
So cabinet.
So this is exactly what
yeah.
the fight was. I was see, I would say three.
It's also just like a great question.
Cabinet.
Cab. I would too, but I also think like if let's say I were writing formal poetry, as I often do.
No one laughed. I don't do that.
I laugh.
I'm aware that
Caleb,
I don't do that.
You snicker.
I could,
and you don't have to laugh. I just want to make it be clear that I'm not whatever. If you're ready to get like you'd want to mark. Like you'd want to mark that it's not three, I think. And like if you specifically wanted to be pronounced with two in like formal poetry, you'd need to like use an apostrophe or something. So I think that's what would to me suggest that it is three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would note it either way.
That's probably a better.
Yeah.
Better call.
I would just be like, I'm not if it's important for the phrasing or anything, like I'm thinking about like writing lyrics. I mean you would just see in the melody
yeah.
that it's like this way.
Smart.
But well, let's talk about the episode.
Yeah,
speaking
yeah.
of cabinets.
We need to come back to this later, though. Yeah. Or no, we don't. We don't, sorry.
I mean, yeah, cabinet was definitely the seg, the
nice.
Attempt at a segue.
It was really good.
Yeah.
People thought I was just
but
talking
we,
about
we
cabinets.
We weren't done yet. We had more to say.
This episode was one of the earliest episodes that we plotted. We had a rough idea of what it was. And then when Sam joined the team, it was the first episode that you wrote. And then it's also the cameo-centric episode, the only episode without any form of assignment, at least in season one. And you're also a ton of different characters, or at least multiple big characters
yeah.
in this episode.
Yeah.
It's a Samapalooza.
Oh, God.
What... Do you remember, like, when you were thinking of this episode? Because you added a lot of the stuff. The only things that were in there were, like, it was a company retreat, and everyone was taking Amodo fudge. It wasn't hallucinogenic
yeah,
fudge.
Yeah.
And everyone knew except for Cameo, and that was basically all
yeah.
you had.
Yeah, and so the like... The immediate thing that I wanted to do with the episode and I was excited about with the episode was like
putting it in a really interesting setting, right? I thought the concept of like a retreat and this like drug thing was really funny and really interesting. And I was like, okay, I want to just sort of take that to another level and put it in this like really quirky place. I realized the idea for the place was probably most inspired by an old Game Boy Advance game called Mega Man Battle Network 3. It comes in two versions, white and blue. And there is a section of the game, it's like the second act basically, where you are on a field trip and to a zoo, but you're staying at this like kind of like traditional culture hotel while you're at the zoo. And it's not really ever explained why that's the case, but I just always thought, and like it takes place in a world that's like very like high tech and everything, so the zoo is very high tech, there's like all kinds of technology stuff there. It really stuck in my memory, this location in this game, because like it was like, why are these two things together? And so when I think when I started thinking about a retreat, I went to that place and I was like, what are two really incongruous things? And then I was inspired. I've never been to the Dells, but I was inspired by like, I don't know, when I moved to the Midwest, how much people talk about the Dells. So I wanted like the cabs to be kind of like that. And then, yeah, I just sort of, I mean, we can talk about specific things, but from there, I just sort of let my imagination kind of go wild with other references and things that I enjoyed, like the precocious children and the weird, like, pseudo cult and all the corporate
Belmont
bonding stuff. Belmont.
Fan yeah. favorite, Belmont.
Belmont. Fan favorite.
Yeah, people love Belmont.
I was just saying, because Belmont's attacked by a
oh
fan.
My fucking God.
Oh. That was a
joke. Remember when Belmont's attacked by that fan?
Wait, so that's a like a pun, like the title.
Just like the title, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or is it wordplay?
One time.
Why would you say that?
What does everyone else think about when they think about this? These two episodes.
I listened to the first episode of the two today. I didn't have time to listen to the second one, but I liked it more than I remember liking it. I don't know. Like, there were just so many moments where I was like, oh, that's so funny. Like, just little moments I liked. Like, I don't know, just the Dell Mount thing is hilarious. I don't know. I can't think of it. But when I was listening to it, I was just like, oh, I like this one.
Yeah, the Dermot Delmont bit is it's the entire, like, B story of this episode. It's literally just one bit, just extended for a really long time. And I was worried it wouldn't be as funny as it was on the paper. But I don't think that is the case.
Well, it's like a bit, but it's a bit that fuels a character trait that's very important. Of like, it's like a joke, but it's also like an entire way to launch the arc about self-identity. And so it's like kind of great in that. Like, it is a face value, stupid joke. Like, very funny, but like, then it does so much for like, is Delmont willing to not be themselves to get what they want? But it's just that done literally. But then because it's such a joke, you don't see how literal it is. It's kind of great.
Yeah, there was a lot of Delmont development, considering this was a very cameo forward episode with all that stuff. But it was a lot of fun to read as it was being written. To record, too, was a ton of fun because Delmont kind of got to let their... I was going to say hair, but I guess it's not hair.
Can you just picture Delmont in a big Fabio, like, blowback?
Are you... You didn't? No, Delmont got to...
Delmont.
Shed their scales. Yeah.
thank you. That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, that's really good. We might want to use that.
But yeah, and... like towing the line between coming off as high but knowing that it's going to be revealed later. And there were also some really great scenes with Leslie, aka Britt. And that was, they're obviously a friend of mine, all of us. It's fun to record.
One of the only bits that you two were like not in the booth together at all, like you weren't even in the studio at the same time when we recorded your parts.
Wow, I forget about that because it sounds really natural.
I think we may have recorded the breakup scene.
I thought those two. I thought you meant Leslie and Delmont.
Yeah, me too.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah, Leslie and Delmont were in the same room.
Yeah.
Which was really fun. And then Sam was all solo.
Yeah, but like all the stuff with the Falcon, I don't really have a lot of overlap, but those scenes, I mean,
Belmont was a very generous partner to act off of, and so that definitely made things a lot easier.
So like a lot of things, I just used like a library, found the sounds, but Belmont I folded from scratch, and it was like a bunch of balloons that Cade and I blew up, and then like I remembered one time getting my fingers wet and touching a balloon. And just, like, the squeaky sounds are so, so, so pronounced. So we just were, like, sitting there. Kate came out. I made you come out because I was so excited. And, like, we were just, like, stroking these balloons, getting, like, the most loud, aggressive squeaks with the gentlest little touch of the balloon. And then it was good because then you could, like, kind of make it speak by, like, doing, you know, doing it like a percussive instrument to mimic words.
The work that you did with that, I mean, it's just incredible. Like, it's something that is, it was just something I kind of wrote, and I was like, yeah, like, when I wrote it, I was like, Vanessa is going to be able to do something here, but, like, it's probably not going to read quite as, like, magically as I imagined in my mind. Then I heard, it was like, wow, she really made it sound like Belmont is talking, but through a balloon. It's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. This episode, well, and it was also... especially part one was very sound design light outside of Belmont. So I had a lot of capacity. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't like worn out.
Cause you thought about making it into a keyboard and just like,
yeah, I could have done that. And then I realized I would have just been adding a step because I could just do that by hand effectively. Does that make sense? But one of my favorite parts that we haven't talked about yet is the Bridges scene.
Mm-hmm.
And Bridger's monologue at the beginning of it is like one of my favorite moments in the whole season.
Yeah.
Just like the cute little synth and Bridger's like long, wistful monologue.
Yeah, that I think that's maybe my favorite joke that I wrote in this episode is when Bridger's is like, it's okay, I have fire insurance. It's such a throwaway, but it just makes me laugh so much.
The track name is like, because it's an adaptation of a track from Arc 3 called Modes and Rules, and then I changed it and that one's called Modes, Rules, and Fire Insurance.
Nice.
It was really funny in the edit giving notes on Belmont, because I would be... Squeaks are really funny to me. Like, they're one of the funniest things in the world to me.
It's your SpongeBob pilled.
Yeah. So I would be like, could you go like high and then low? So it like sounds like more like a question.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, okay. And you'd come back with like the perfect response in balloon.
Yeah.
What color does everyone picture Belmont?
Ooh. Incredible.
Orange.
Me too.
Me too. Oh my God. So we have three oranges right off the bat.
It matches Cameo.
I hadn't even thought about that.
I was going to say red.
Hmm.
I imagine purple.
Huh. While we're talking about Belmont, I feel like we should discuss Len's past as a balloon artist at Chili's.
This is true. That was my first job was in Florida. I worked for a company that would contract local Chili's restaurants and send out a balloon artist to go make balloon animals for people.
So do you think you could make a Belmont if we got you all the tools?
What shape do you picture Belmont as? Because
a belt sander.
I don't know what a belt sander looks like, and I just picture like a long.
Okay,
so it's a belt.
Yeah, okay. So a belt sander kind of looks like it's got like an elongated cylinder like this, right? And then a handle.
Yeah.
It's a very simple shape.
So you could do this for TikTok.
I
follow-up question. So I can make this a social post?
I would need my tools.
What tools do you require? What's our budget?
Great follow-up question. What tools
are involved, Len?
Okay.
Aside from the balloons.
You definitely need a pump. I'm not skilled. You have to be really, really skilled to be able to blow up that type of like long, skinny balloon with your mouth.
Tried that while we were blowing up the balloons.
It's going to pass out.
I felt like I was going to hurt myself. Like I thought I was going to.
Yeah, you need
like
a pump.
Explode an organ inside.
Unless
my
you're
body.
Like the balloon wizard genius. there was like the dude who was like the head of it had been doing it for a really long time, and he
the people
that
just
it.
Like pull it up, pull it from their side, and go. S-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s-s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of balloon making in my day.
That checks out.
I made balloon animals once. When I was in college, I was part of this group that I went to once called like Badger Acts of Kindness.
Oh.
And because I went to UW and the mascot was a
okay, there
badger.
We go. I was like, I feel like I'm missing an important piece of information.
We learned how to make balloon animals and we were just like making them for people on campus.
I was imagining you going to like an old folks home.
No, it was just like for other students.
That's cute.
And they liked it.
That's cute. That is.
I still get emails
wholesome.
From this organization.
How many times when you were making balloon animals did a kid go like, can I have a giraffe? And you're like, oh.
With a giraffe,
how about a
though?
Dog?
Wouldn't you just make a dog with a long neck?
Yeah, it's literally a dog with a long neck.
Yeah.
I mean, I just shouldn't have picked like the standard balloon animal in this
There
example.
Was, I think it was like my second night, there was this kid that was like, can I have a bunny? And I just remembered what the person who taught me was like, you know, if as long as you know like the basic shapes and twists, you can like kind of make it up as you go. And I was like, wow, I'm gonna do that. And then it did not look like a bunny. And then the girl was like, this doesn't look like a bunny. And
this
then,
is a giraffe with big ears.
Yeah.
I'm kind of realizing like we're giving balloon animals a lot of leeway. Like, they're kind of all just dogs, aren't they?
And the dog is barely a dog.
Yeah, like, it doesn't... Because, like, if someone handed me a giraffe, like, a long-necked dog, I'd be like, yeah, it's a giraffe. But, like, no one fucking is.
Okay.
Someone else said fox.
Hold on, I gotta defend. There's bear. Bear is different. Okay. Cat is different. I'm just
Jeff
saying.
Jeff Koons is a hack, is what I'm hearing.
On a somewhat related note, I... did face painting once for like a different volunteer thing. And I think I only painted one face and it was this kid who was like 4 and he was like, I want to be a train.
Wait, how did you accomplish this?
I don't remember what I did at all, but I was just like, and the mom was there and she was like, just do it.
Just do it. You heard
what do you
the
do?
Kid.
I'm like, would you do head on or would you just put like a train?
I don't know. Like, I don't even know what I would do. I don't know what I did. I just remember being like, I don't want to do
you
this.
You blacked out the entire time.
You could have done like a Thomas the Train. Yeah, just a big
just
gray
all
face.
Gray.
Face gray.
With like a circle
you're
around.
Indistinguishable from a mime, right? Like,
another thing about the episode that's not balloon animal related. I'm trying to phrase this in a way that's not just like very simple and boring. I really like the vent scene.
The music
yeah.
in that.
Yeah, it was
really good.
It was so exciting, and especially like with the Falcon and Cameo and the whole gang. It feeling like kitty and not super serious intentionally and then just getting very, very tense. It was really, really nice.
That was one of the scenes that I had to like score. Like I finished sound designing the scene, exported it, took it into my music application. And there was so many different motifs, so many different, because it's like 5 different emotional beats within like a 4-minute section. So I was like, there's no way I can just like use things I've already created and adjust them. I'm like, I have to do this all whole cloth. And I think that scene probably took half of the sound design for that whole episode, just because it's like crawling in a vent. There's a fan. There's a balloon belt sander. There's tension. There's like a walkie talkie. It's a lot. That scene's a lot, but it turned out super well. Like, I'll listen back to that one, and I'm like, oh, I kind of knew what I was doing at that point.
I really the sound design just like so sells the seriousness of the situation, and I just think that in I always like those scenes, but when I heard, I think it's Julia who is playing Tulip, and just like all those non sequiturs just make me laugh so hard. Just like, just every time piercing that really like clear sound design with just like, what is the context? Like,
yeah.
What is actually?
I'm gonna need clarification on what Beltmont can or is and can do.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, I think Julia just did such an amazing job with that particular skeptical character.
And I just those three kids, I just adore.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. They're all so funny.
Gumbo, the Falcon, and Tulip.
Great names.
Our last hope.
But, like, canonically, what is Beltmont? Like, I feel like you and I have discussed this, Kate, and we have different headcanons on this.
What do you think Beltmont is?
I have my non-canon answer, that Bridgers is a very powerful magician who's remotely controlling Beltmont and using it for his own anti-Fudge Corp.
That rules. That's
yeah,
so cool.
That's like mine, because I think that it's like, I don't think that it's such extreme levels of magic. Like, all it would technically be is some like remote manipulation, right? And so like, I don't think that's out of the bounds of what some dude could do if he was pretty strong, pretty good at magic, but like not so good that it's like a thing. So that's my headcanon.
I feel like Beltmont's the friends you meet along the way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I just feel like Beltmont's a balloon.
Yeah,
I think I came with this canon. I came with this canon to you, Kate, and you were like, Beltmont is a balloon, and then Cameo has a very active imagination. That's
I don't remember this at all. That is what I think.
Hearing Vanessa's headcanon, I think I like it. I agree with it. It adds up in my head. I think the way I saw Beltmont was like something that, in kind of a top pal way, like accidentally gained sentience and then was sort of just like, what do I do? I'm just a balloon. And maybe that combined with the magic.
See,
I just think it's funnier if it's just a balloon.
It's like the wind blows at just the right times to get the squeaks to happen exactly when they needs to.
You know, so my actual answer, I'll tell in a second, but I always thought that like that was just Cameo like rubbing the balloon a little bit.
Yeah.
Like not the wind, like just like, what do you think? But the sort of my answer is like, because this is a world that is very magical and very technologically advanced, like all that mattered to me was that so long as any of these things could be real, that's what's important. As long as there's enough sort of mystery around it, like Beltmont could be any of these things and
could be any of us,
could be any one of us, mm-hmm. among us.
The lesson.
That's right. We're gonna be in a month.
The movie.
The musical. The 6-episode Netflix limited series. Zendaya is red guy.
Chris Pratt plays the Vents.
Oh my god, he would be such a great Vents. So funny. So freaking funny. But I also kind of do think that Beltmont is the friends we made along the way.
There is just a great time to talk about the tag. Because all of these episodes were written in as like one sort of hour-long thing. And then they ended up getting split up. So most of the episodes end with sort of like a cap scene. Whether it's like Delmont coming home in episode 2. Or the birthday party. In episode 4, but this one was the most jokey, and I think the funniest if it took place after the credits, and it makes me laugh every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be kind of weird before the credits.
Yes.
Like, it needed that right amount of pause for it to hit.
Yeah, because I feel like if it weren't for that tag, my answer about what is Belmont would be very different. But because I heard the tag, I'm like, okay, something... Belmont something.
Yeah. Yes.
But...
I think there's also a bit of a false flag going on here, because it's like, we're asking, what's Belmont? Who's Mama Stromboli? Mm. So, like...
CEO.
Yeah.
Girl boss.
Girl boss, of course. But, like, you know, like, we're making assumptions about, like, Mama Stromboli's ability to assess Belmont's character that I don't think we can make. I don't think we know. Mama Stromboli might be a bunch of balloons, is what I'm saying.
Write that down.
Another thing, so Sam, as we were discussing earlier, ton of voices in this episode. Fudge Vincent in there. I feel like we didn't even goof around. We're like, this is basically Victor from Fallout New Vegas in presentation.
Yeah, and I'm realizing because I wasn't there, I think, for a lot of your scene or a lot of your recordings for this episode, I mean, I knew you voiced a lot of characters, but I don't think I realized how many.
Give us a little bit of it.
Ah, God, I don't quite. Well, I think it's over talk like
that. Okay, yeah.
That's like if 12 UFC fighters came and beat the shit out of Bud Vincent. That's what he would sound like after.
It's like that, and then like a lot of auto-tune, which so funny because it's such a modulated voice. Like, it goes up and down so much. Yeah. And so when you put auto-tune on it, it is so funny.
Yeah.
I cut together, there were some outtakes of you cursing and saying dirty things that I cut together from this episode. And I like literally, I saw the file on my computer, and it's named something like that doesn't make sense. So I like open it occasionally. Like when I was working on the ad we were just working on, I'm like, oh, what's this clip? And it's like Fudge Vincent like cursing and talking about milk.
About what?
Milk.
Milk.
There's milk. So much Fudge Vincent that got left. Yeah,
probably
on the cutting room floor, or like you can barely hear because it's like in the background of something.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was like a long bit about talking about how Fudge Vincent used to be in the coal mines. Oh, it has like a black lung.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember a word of this.
I think what happened was it was one of the instances where like me or Caleb, or Caleb and I as one entity, were just like, hey, we need to be able to hear him in the background. Can you just riff for a little bit? No one will hear the words. And so you were just in the booth and you were just like talking about the coal mines. Is either that or you were just like feeling yourself already and doing some riffs.
Incredible.
Going back to Vanessa, your point about Victor from Fallout New Vegas, that is absolutely true. I think like at first I was like, oh, this will be a subtle reference. And then it just morphed into like, there's so much utility in that character, like a robot who can kind of be everywhere and is also sort of a cowboy. Like, we're just like, all right, that's fine. And then we'll just name it Vincent and put Fudge in front of it. It's completely fine.
Exactly. Yeah.
The other major character you voiced was Dr. Articoin, which is something that happened a lot when we were recording with other people that are not core team members, having to get them to say names that Sam has made up. amount of times I had to be like, Articoin. Articorn?
I think that people did say Articorn in the actual recording.
Yeah,
because
they did.
When I was like listening to it, I kept being like, wait, I thought it was Articorn.
We made a joke about no one being able to say that name, but then I was like, but the whole storyline is no one gets Delmont's name, so it seemed...
Oops, oh, no.
I elbowed something. It seemed like a bit of overkill.
Yeah. I think that in this, Caleb and I were in the studio with someone else the first time it came up, and I tried to text you, and you were doing something else, so we just kind of went with whatever. I think that there were like two instances of this where it was like neither of us, we were in the studio, it was Caleb and I, it was usually at the end of a long day, and we were just like, gosh darn it.
Yeah. It's a very hard word to say.
Is it? What is that? Like, where is the origin of that
word? Ardor coin. Okay, so I believe that it was really just like a riff. Is I was like, okay, I wanted to start with something like kind of like Doctor Strangelove. So I was like, okay, well, how about like two like nouns? And so I was like, all right, well, ardor is a way to say love, kind of. Like ardor. And then I was like, oh, like, what if his name was just like Dr. I Love Money? So he's Dr. Ardor Coin.
Ardor Coin was also one of those voices that we got to the end of our studio time and we were like, oh, we didn't get this yet. But like Sam had such a specific vision for this character. It was almost sort of like your Bad Georgie moment where I was just like, Sam needs to be this doctor.
That also happened with Grandpa. We recorded a different Grandpa, and you had done it so many times in table reads and so specifically in table reads that our other Grandpa was fine. But in the edit, we were just like, Caleb, can you grab these lines?
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, you came in there and you're like, it's gotta be me.
It's gotta be
me. I would like to see more Dr. Ardor Coin in the future, personally.
You have your hands full with lots of characters.
I'm just saying. I enjoyed his whole business.
What if it was Dr. Ardor Coin or the Puppet Master?
A Puppet Master every time.
You're not asking the real questions.
What I'm
here,
hearing
Caleb,
is so long as if... I don't write Ardor Coin again, I get to do the Puppet Master.
Yeah. What if Ardor Coin was you. The Puppet Master?
Oh my god.
That's your
my dream role. I could play my dream role, the Puppet Master.
You broke Vanessa.
I'm just thinking about an actual puppet. Seeing Sam pushing it so hard.
Only if it's a puppet master that's like controlling the whole universe and you find out that Cameo and Delmont are actually puppets and you just didn't know because it's audio.
That's a new tagline of the show. You didn't know because it's audio.
It's just bad Twilight Zone twist, but it's audio.
Can we talk about the bad joke that I wanted to put in about the parrot.
Oh my god.
Wait, I don't know if I remember this.
Oh my god.
Okay, so there was this one bad joke that I wanted to do where at the end of the season I came on doing a silly voice like a parrot. And I was just like, hey, guys, it's me, Cameo's parrot.
I thought that it was during the recording, like the day where we were just all messing around in the studio. I thought that I was just like, hey, guys.
I thought you were avidly against this idea.
No, I did the bit. And then you were into the idea after I did the bit. And then Sam was like, stop this.
I hate Cameo's parrot.
No, it's so funny.
Cameo's parrot.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, we were like,
wasn't that crazy, all the adventures we had?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a bit quiet.
I hate Cameo's parrot so much.
Parrot. It could have been either. I think it was me.
It was definitely you.
Vanessa was doing a parrot voice.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
What did it sound like?
Classic parrot voice.
It's probably something like this. It's a bit of a Marge Simpson.
It is a Marge Simpson. No. You know, I think I maybe wouldn't hate the parrot so much, but knowing this group, it's like it wouldn't just be the parrot. Like then there would be like the lore for the parrot. And then there'd be like the parrot's like story and arc, and like it just would never end.
And it wouldn't work because we have those videos that I made for social media, and everyone would be like, where's Cameo's parrot?
I don't know, the parrot's just, it's not pictured, just behind.
You just pan down to his Cameo's
The parrot's the one taking the video.
Wait, who do you think's been recording this whole time?
Why? Yeah.
Sheesh. That's our like mutually assured destruction. You have Puppet Master. I have cameos paired.
Yeah.
We're just
we need to get holding a gun. Do we each get guns too? Yeah.
What are your gun ideas?
My gun is a gun.
Wait, can I do a CTA? Sound off in the comments. Puppet Master V cameos parrot. I know it's gonna be.
If we get one comment on the Discord, it will like whoever votes is their only votes. So yeah. Sound off.
The voting rate is low enough that you, listener, you can really swing this election.
Exactly.
Wait, Vanessa and Kay, what would your cameos parrot / puppet master be, do you think?
I don't know. I feel like I have so many bad ideas. It shuts down.
I'm just the idea hater.
That's good.
That's what we call you.
Oh, here comes the
idea hater Nichols.
I don't really have any. I don't have any that I'm like that are controversial.
Yeah,
I feel like mine would be a very specific ship, but what that ship is, I don't know.
I don't.
Oh,
nah.
You've opened up a whole can of worms. I do think mine would be a physical. I would love to see a character just with a gun.
And I would joke about Opal Voss's gun all the time.
Yes,
Len and
yes.
I have like a running bit about like then Opal Voss pulls out her gun.
Especially because like Opal doesn't, well now, but standard Opal doesn't have any like pockets visible, so it'd just be like, just materialize.
She's got a jean jacket now.
Yeah,
there's a reason
for the to hold the gun.
Yeah,
the gun. To hold the gun.
It covers a holster.
Mm-hmm. It's a jean holster with a jacket attached.
Jolster.
All this gun talk. Do we need to add a trigger warning?
I'm sorry, listener. Bill Maher just walked through the room. And I don't. Bill, you got to go home.
Cancel culture. What else?
It's a terrible joke, Caleb.
There's the second sighting of Davis in this episode. Cryptid.
Second. Which is the first?
In the Forever Hole.
Oh, yes, of course.
One of four appearances so far.
Yeah.
Which Davis wasn't even like actually a character. It was more we had this little kid character, and then I was like, this is all the same.
I do think that Davis is first named, maybe not maybe I don't know if it's actually in the script or just the name of the character, but I think this is where Davis was like first introduced as like an individual entity.
So what is Davis? What do we think? I don't know.
What kind of balloon is Davis?
Yeah. What?
The thing I want to talk about with Davis, I can't because it's in... I think I can talk about this in the second season without it being a spoiler. But there's a moment where there's like a lot of characters like coalescing for an important moment to all be there for one character. And you had Davis show up and just about no one else. It was like Davis cameo bad call Billy, and I was like, okay.
No, Caleb like loves the character of Davis. Caleb has just like celebrated this character from the beginning. Like we did the read through and Caleb was just like so tickled by the Davis section. It's like, oh, we gotta have more Davis. And we're like, that's fine. Like, we can. It wasn't contentious like the parrot, but it was like, it was just like, you just really love that character. It's great.
I think it's funny that Davis is like also like a lot of the time, like when we make like side characters, it's like they have like a little bit of a thing going on, mm-hmm. right? Like Vincent's a fudge hawking cowboy robot. Davis is just a kid, and that is his only personality.
Yeah, he's
trait.
Seven.
And he's seven. And that's it. You know? And he doesn't have anything else. And he doesn't, and we should not give him anything else.
No.
That's all he needs.
Yeah. I also think there is, like, in a slightly more, like, serious note, like, there is more, like, there's utility in having, like, I really, in that scene, I needed the listener to think that maybe Cameo is, like, talking to Delmont, right? So, like, that is, the function of Davis in that scene is really important, actually.
it's kind of surprisingly, I would say, because like we need Davis so that the listener will be able to accept Belmont later, right?
Yes.
Like it's like a step into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also to sort of set up this idea of like you're gonna be hearing some like monologues that aren't really monologues, which I think helps get the listener to be used to someone talking to a balloon.
One of my favorite scenes between Delmont and Cameo takes place in the first part of this episode. The sort of breakup scene, as I like to call it. Because it's one of the first times you see like Delmont pulling punches with Cameo, like actually seemingly trying to be nice. And Cameo is just not even receiving an ounce of that at all. It's like you just stabbed me in the front of my chest.
Yeah, I think it's one thing that, you know, this episode is like really the first time we get to see Cameo like, well, we get to see Cameo in the dungeon a little bit alone, but like it's really a time to see Cameo alone, right? And I just think it's a really important bit of the storytelling to be like, Cameo is kind of unreasonable in this situation, you know, like it's completely fine for Delmont to want to do the thing they all agreed to go do. Like that's completely fine. And Cameo like really kind of has a whole meltdown over it, which I think it's funny, but it's also like, it's important. And for some of the things we explore in the next season too, it's really important context.
And then how it ties together with the ending also, that like resolution scene really just, it hits you in the feels, as they say.
Yes, with my girl playing in the background. Mm-hmm. Buckle Bunny.
Yeah, Buckle Bunny just adds to the emotion and sadness. But the emotion is sadness. But yeah, I really like that it didn't have we've made up, we're friends now, I'm sorry, you're sorry kind of ending. Like it really did resolve with Delmont does need to go off and do their own thing, and Cameo does need to be okay with it, and Cameo isn't totally okay with it. It was just a really nice moment.
Yeah.
One of the only episodes where Cameo has like a definitive arc / lesson.
Yeah, in the first season, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I also, like, we didn't have the Buckle Bunny song necessarily picked out, I don't think.
I wrote it for it.
Well, but, like, at the beginning, like when I was writing the script, like, I didn't have a specific, like, I don't think I had heard what you were going to
write. The track was finished a week before the episode came out.
Okay, yeah. So, like, when I was writing, like, I just knew it would be a Buckle Bunny piece.
Yeah.
And I definitely, knowing and liking Buckle Bunny's music, like, I did think about that scene, like, what would fit kind of the vibe of her music, you know? Something a little wistful, but a little country, you know?
Yeah, and I think also we wanted to do music tie-ins, hence the nap, hence the Buckle Bunny, because we really wanted to show the full power of our media franchise, you know? Mm-hmm. We can have original music from our characters. I mean, the nap one is really big. That's a big plot thing that we'll be discussing next time. There isn't an Opal one because I was doing so much.
Yeah. And the other ones sort of fell, like we were already doing like a country western vibe. So it was like, oh yeah, Buckle Bunny's in this one.
I just also love that like in this episode, like there's just like an original song in it. Like, you know, it's like I love that there's an aspect of this episode like we're just putting on a show. Like, all right, show's over. Here's now time for a performance. Like, I love that that's something that we were able to do together. And like, that's so obviously not something I could ever do on my own in my art, to be able to like have a song. Oh, it's just so cool. I just love that. It always kind of surprises me when I listen to that. I'm like, oh my god, there's a song in this episode.
I forget
what?
About
that's
it
so
sometimes.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, that song was really challenging to write for some reason. just like I could not get the, I think that I had 5 different subjects for it at different times. I could not write the B section. Like I was just like so lost. And then I think I was like, suddenly it was pretty close to done. I just sit in and I was just like, oh, here's the whole thing. And so then like, I think it was like, yeah, like literally the 5th. Cause originally the lyric, the opening lyric, the it goes like any day, was that's why there's 2 of us. And it was very, it was like too like Randy Newman, Toy Story, like you got a friend in me yeah. energy. And I was like, that's not what's happening here though. And so I don't know then where that Buckle Bunny inspiration came from. I'll have to talk to her. But yeah, I like how it turned out. I like also like the scene was longer than the song and her going to a second track, having like the applause and then Blue Station as cameo is in the more sad space, I think is fun.
Blue Station is one of my favorite Army songs, period. Probably my top 3, but I don't want to force myself to do that right now.
I think your favorite one is coming out probably about when this episode comes out.
Ooh.
I mean, I think that's one of your favorites. Do Your Eyes Water, the other new Buckle Bunny. I didn't want to premiere that one then. I don't know why. It was, but it's once again, it's been in the ads.
Yeah. What is, I'm actually realizing now that when I wrote the first draft of the script, like Buckle Bunny, like it was like, hey everyone, like, and then like kind of reference one of her songs, but I can't remember.
Settle down.
Yes, that's right. So that was a placeholder at the time.
Yeah,
but so you know, re-listen to the episode, listen to Settle Down when that happens, see what you think.
When I heard it through the first time and you had put Blue Station in there, I was super excited because it also sets something up for season 2 in a way that I had not planned.
I also like that last scene too, like cameos, like on, I imagine like on a hill overlooking like the country music festival. Like I want to go to that event so bad. Like it feels really indulgent to be like, I want to go to this scene that I wrote. Like
it's like just after Golden Hour on like a summer day and like
very like chill birthday kind of. Oh, I just want to go so badly.
Ugh.
Like, I bet the weather's good. I bet there's a breeze. Sunset.
It has a very strong atmosphere.
Yeah.
And like,
Vanessa, you're really good at sound designing for sunsets.
I really do. I feel like I talk about vibe and aesthetic a lot, but like, that is like the most important part of a lot of media to me. And I think that there are like a couple per episode where I'm just like, oof, I like to occupy this space. Like, I wish I could live in this moment. Another one of those is the Bridgers bit, like just this like relaxed but not dreary but old space. The Billy Delmont work scene when it's like late at night is my favorite. I'm just like, I love this space, this energy here. But yeah, I really the kind of undefinable emotional core of some of these things is like I find the most important to me. It's the most important in other media, so I always really. And it is just like, it's the core, but it's also the sum of the parts, you know, it's the story, it's the acting, it's the sound design, it's the score, it's the everything about it. And I think that's kind of the strongest thing about the whole series anyways. So it's like, the strongest thing about the series is all the things, actually.
Yes.
Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was such a fun episode.
Yeah.
Love it. Love a good retreat.
Yeah.
And now let's go retreat to our treats.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of chine and wheeze. We got a bunch of wine and cheese to go eat.
Chine and wheeze.
Chine and wheeze.
So until you hear from us again, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the Patreon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't forget to experience the world.
Yeah.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.